look at how does this make me feel as a parent? Because if I don't understand how my child's making me feel, then I'm not able to see how I perhaps put more of that onto my child. If you can get your own support, that was, I would say, step one. And then step two is like, start to see your child for who they are, not who they're not, right? We're so focused on what my kid isn't. Who are they?
Hi, and welcome to Help Them Bloom, a podcast for conscious parents. All right, parents, raising children is no small job, and how you choose to raise your child during their first years impacts so much of their self-worth and how they'll navigate life. As a child and parenting expert, I'm here on a mission to help you parent intentionally through the messiest of your moments and in a way that feels good to you. Let's dive in. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today, I'm so excited about my guest. She is a very special person to me, both personally and professionally. We actually met on Instagram, I believe, and our friendship has flourished from there. So many of you probably know her from Instagram. It's The Conscious Mom, and her name is Erin Morrison. She is a conscious parenting coach practitioner. She holds two master's degrees, not one, but two, from Columbia University in psychological counseling and a certification in conscious parenting. I also know that she did work with Shefali Tabari herself, which is pretty amazing in itself. Erin uses a blend of both Western and Eastern approaches to guide parents into feeling more connected to themselves, which ultimately leads them to feeling more connected to their kids. Known as Conscious Mom on Instagram, Erin shares down-to-earth, realistic parenting support. She also has her private practice where she offers one-on-one individual sessions. Erin, thank you for being here with me today.
I'm so excited. I love, first of all, I love the name of the podcast. That's
awesome. Thank you. Yeah. It's a little bit of a tongue twister, but it works.
No, it's lovely. I actually was thinking, I'm like, what is it called? I haven't heard yet. And I love it. It's perfect.
So, Air, today we're going to talk about a topic that I think is so cool and will resonate with so many parents. We are going to be talking about raising the wild child. So that sounds intimidating, right? For sure. But you know what? It's really not once we really understand it from a different perspective. So why don't we dive right in and start off with, can you tell us a little bit about what kind of child are we talking about when, for the sake of this podcast and conversation, when we say wild child, like who do we mean by this?
Such a good question. So I think the best way I can explain this is a parenting experience. So when I had my first child, who was a boy, I had them over for a play date at my house, and all the kids sat down in the shallow end of the pool and they were playing just, you know, nicely with like one little bucket. My child was running circles, didn't care what other kids were doing, yelling, right? And so to me, the wild child is the child who doesn't fit the conventional standard of an obedient child who listens to every word you say and who makes you feel like a good parent.
Yeah, I think a lot of us can raise our hands and say, we feel you on that one, right? I think that sometimes when we see the kids that are seemingly compliant and just following convention and norm, it can feel a little bit like we're doing something wrong. Like, why is our kid the one that stands out here? What would you say about that? Like, have you ever had feelings like that personally?
Oh, absolutely. I just thought, what was I doing wrong? And that, you know, I love that you said that, because there's usually two things that we go to: either what am I doing wrong as a parent, or what is wrong with my child? Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you are a therapist, and it is so important if you ever feel like something is different or something stands out, or you're concerned about something in your child, of course, seek support for that. But generally speaking, if you feel like either something's wrong with me or something's wrong with my child, that's the normal feeling, right? We don't know where else to go. But what I would say was, let's look at the bigger picture. of what we believe children should and shouldn't do. What are the expectations that our society has set on children? And so when it doesn't fit perfectly into what our society says, we have to blame someone. We have to label someone. And sometimes it's, I'm the bad mom. And other times it's, well, I guess I just have a bad kid.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. What do you think are some of these expectations that are put on us as parents? Like, what has society dictated to be normal?
Yeah, and I think a lot of, I mean, that's such a great question. And I think for most of us, we think back to the way we were raised, right? More traditional in the parenting in the sense that there is hierarchy, right? I am the parent, therefore I am above and you are the child and you are below. I know more than you, you know less than me. You do what I say, you know, the phrase, because I said so,
yeah.
Or that's just the way we do things. So I think in that sense, those are some of the ideas that guide us in what our parent-child relationship should look like. And then the wild child comes into the picture and we desperately try to hold on to all of those traditions and try to be dominant. We try to do all the, you know, we read all the books on how to control your child and it doesn't work. And so then again, we're just forced to say, like, either it's me, I'm broken, or the child's broken. Instead, what if we looked at maybe just this whole picture of what we think children shouldn't be, maybe that's broken. And maybe, and what you and I do is that we can widen our lens and how we look at children and how can we look at them in a different way other than them being someone or something to be trained.
Absolutely. It cannot be a one size fits all cookie cutter approach. And this too, not just because society is, you know, giving us all of these ideas of what parenting and childhood should be, but also, like, we've got to take into consideration, like, different temperaments and different needs that kids come with. And I think when you're talking about the wild child, you're also talking about a temperament here, a specific type of temperament, right? So this boundary pusher, right? Because I think we only see them as the boundary pushers, but there's so much more to this child. Help us see this child in a new way, aside from just, oh, they're not following the rules, or they're so defiant, or they're always kind of like going against what people do. Like, how can we shift this perspective?
Great question. And so the way we shift it is first, like, us committing to wanting to see it differently and us committing to saying, maybe the way that I've been looking at it isn't the right way. And so that's the biggest step, I think, for parents, is to sort of detach from the traditional parenting ways. And I'm saying that first and foremost, because it's not easy to step away from tradition or how your parents raised you or your family or your culture. I mean, that's huge, right? To sort of take a new approach to parenting and to not just want to maybe slap a label on your child or just call them difficult or ostracize them. I'm really having trouble talking today. So I think that just you committing to saying, maybe I want to look at something, maybe I want to get curious. And so I would say the first way is to look at, how does this make me feel as a parent? Because if I don't understand how my child's making me feel, then I'm not able to see how I perhaps put more of that onto my child. So if my child is wild child and doesn't listen to me, I could possibly feel like, well, no one respects me. No one cares about me as a parent, like, or I'm a failure. And so I'm going to show up every time I parent my child with that hanging over my head, already not feeling like a good parent, already not feeling like a failure. So instead of doing that, and here's something I'm just going to offer you, right? This is one way you can look at it. What if your child, instead of just going with the flow, which may be a little dysfunctional, right? Maybe you've been going with the flow your whole life. Maybe you're a people pleaser,
that's
right?
Me,
maybe
you and always that's you. Just,
yeah. Oh, yes, forever. I'm just here to exist to make people happy and forget about my needs, right?
Yeah, maybe something's broken with that. Yeah.
Right. So maybe, would it be easier if our child just didn't challenge us and just followed along in those people pleasing steps? Yeah, we would have less conflict, but maybe this child is a truth teller. And maybe this child is saying, this doesn't feel right. This isn't the real you. This doesn't fit me. And I'm not going to conform. So it takes a lot of work on the parent side to say, yeah, maybe this child is right. Maybe I don't need to make my child conform to other ways. Maybe I can look at them in a different light and say, maybe there's something I need to shift inside of me. And then when I shift and I can heal parts of myself, then I can look at my child in such a different light and I don't see them as broken.
That's so beautiful. You are so articulate. I love the way that you can just throw all these words and make them sound like rainbows somehow. But that is really like such a nice reframe. And you know what I think about a lot? Like these kids that will kind of do their own thing amongst kids who are all doing something else. Like it takes courage to be that kid. You know, it takes confidence and courage to be like, no, I'm going to do things my own way because I know what feels good to me right now. And I know what I like and I don't like. And, you know, this something else attracts me right now. And like, is it always possible that we can just let them do whatever they want? No, but is it amazing that they have like such a strong sort of intuition and they really know themselves? Like that mm-hmm. takes courage and that's pretty amazing. There's something right with that. Don't you agree?
Of course, totally agree. And I think that, you know, we have to, I'm just going to share this too. We have to understand that like we all come into this world, like especially the way I believe this to be true in conscious parenting is that we all come into this world whole and who we are, but somewhere along the lines, we get into our family and we either are told or we get hints or we learn that who we are maybe isn't enough. Or maybe if we were just, you know, if we always listen to mom, oh, I notice she gives me more attention. Or if I always say yes, then maybe I'm getting more love, right? So we slowly learn that we can bend and shift and shape and mold ourselves into more of what our caretakers want. And so then we just slowly lose these little parts mm-hmm. of our true self. So and then that compounds over time, right? Decades and decades. But then we bring a child into the world and that child has yet to have that happen to them, right? They're not conditioned. They have not been trained. And so it awakens so much inside of us, especially the wild child who's like, what? That doesn't make sense. Why would I just do what you want? Like, I trust what I feel. So it not only challenges us as parents, but it challenges our whole way of being because yeah. we're like, wait, I follow the rules. I did what I should. But like part of you, like you said, part of you is kind of like cheering them on. I mean, it stinks to have to be the mom to handle that because you have to now look at yourself. But part of me is like, hell yeah, girl, you throw that tantrum. You know, yeah. I want to feel like that too.
Yeah, no, the work is huge that, you know, when we have kids, they are just reflecting back to us day in, day out, the shit that we have to heal from and, you know, just uncovering every moment, like things we didn't even know were there, which is pretty incredible, right? So this is something that I know you and I like totally align on from conscious parenting, but really, really believing this notion that our kids are our biggest teachers in life. You know, it's not like totally opposite to what you said about how the old school way of parenting used to be, which is like the hierarchy where we teach our kids everything. Like that's not how it goes, right? If we really look closely, they're teaching, they have so much to teach and offer us every single day, especially the wild child. I could see that be a big life lesson for many people, you know, and even though we can look at them as these amazing children that know who they are, that are truth speakers and boundary pushers, and they're going places probably in life, it's still hard to raise a child that way. What can we do as parents to help us sort of navigate that?
Right. Well, I mean, I think always we need, I feel like this was trained into me at Columbia. It's like ethically, morally responsible for you to be receiving your own support if you're trying to support someone else. So I always say, if you're having a hard time with your parent, my point in saying that is like, if you're a therapist, you should probably have a therapist that you know, supervises and checks in with you. Cause if you're helping people work on themselves, then maybe you should also be working on yourselves too. Right. So I think the same thing as parents, right? Mm-hmm. If you're raising a little human on how to like handle their emotions and live in this world, like maybe you could get that support too, right? So I strongly recommend people getting support for parenting. And that's not to recommend myself. I'm saying any type of parenting support, right? Of course. I mean it like wholeheartedly, like parenting is not just something that you have like this internal manual and you're just like, you just know what to do. It's like, no, we are navigating so much. And so getting support for yourself is important. And then of course, like I said earlier, like if you ever feel concerned about your child, then yes, like look into that, but always with a grain of salt, right? Mm-hmm. Always knowing that there's something to be said about being able to connect with your child fully and to truly see your child for who they are without all of the stuff that the world wants you to think. Because I think that part is important. So if you're having trouble connecting to your wild child, I want you to think about the expectations you have. What are you expecting your child to do? First of all, how old are they? Right. Mm-hmm. I have some parents that say, well, they're four. They should know by now. I'm like,
right.
Four, yeah. You know, no,
their
no, there's
brain like, they is should so know. Immature still at that age. Yeah.
They are, you know what children are? Masters of being. And mm-hmm. goodness, let's let them be as long as they can. Because we're the masters of doing, right? We're so focused on what can we do? What can we check off? And our children are just living life. They're doing everything that all of us in our 30s and 40s and 50s are paying money, going on mindfulness retreats and like silent meditation, how to like learn how to be. And meanwhile, we have kids who are literally showing us every day. They're like, look, I'm just being, I'm here. So if you can get your own support, that was, I would say, step one. And then step two is like, start to see your child for who they are, yeah. not who they're not, right? Yeah. We're so focused on what my kid isn't. Who are they?
Yeah.
What are the things that are great about them? And I have to just add in, a lot of times if we're so focused on who our kid isn't, it's because we also are focused on who we aren't. And we're just carrying that over, right? That's the lens we look at ourselves and this not enoughness. And so how do we also use that same lens to look at our kids?
Ooh, that's really powerful. I love that. Can you say a little more on that? That's great.
Okay. So typically the way that we see ourselves is how we also look at our children and see our children, right? So if the lens that I, you know, we all wake up every day and we put on a pair of glasses, right? And if my glasses, when I put them on every morning, I'm more focused on what I don't have and what I'm not versus what I have and all the good things about me, that's the same way I'm going to look at my child. Mm-hmm. So are we seeing our children for all that they are or for all that they're not? And that is contingent on how we look at ourselves.
Yeah.
So as much as parents, you know, we can do all we want to help our kids, but we have to also look at how we're, you know, treating ourselves, because that always flows over into our children, which is what we're talking about, that sense of lack.
Yeah. And they, and I know you always say they pick up on everything, right? So they can pick up, we don't have to actually say it anyhow, but like they pick up on just the energy behind it when we don't feel like they're enough or good enough at something, or they're able to be like everybody else. Like we can start to subtly like label and categorize them without them even knowing. And this happens all the time, right? So it's almost like I know I have a lot of parents that I work with that will be like describing their two kids, and they'll be like, this one's my easy one and this one's my hard one. And I'm sure that those kids know exactly which role they fall into and that they're labeled that way. And then that becomes a whole self-fulfilling prophecy as well. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love like narrative therapy that goes into that. It is fabulous, right? To think about it. Like everyone listening now, you can think back. What are the stories mm-hmm. that you have heard over and over again about you as a child, right? We all can like pick a couple of them, right? Oh, she was the easy one. She used to put herself to bed at night. Or, oh, she was the one with colic. It's so difficult. And even though we think we're just telling a little story, we as children and our children, we hear that over and over and over again. And so we have the choice to either reject that or believe it. And kids are going to inherit that, because our children have no choice but to believe that what's happening in their world is about them.
It's
right?
The truth.
Most kids don't say, gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Their world is too small. Too small. And so everything around them is personalized and it's internalized. And that's why I always go back to the quote that I will say forever until I'm in my grave, which is the way that we speak to our kids become their inner voice. It's the truth, right? So being, and it's not just the way we speak to them, it's the way we speak about them when they're around, I think is really important too, right? So when you have a child like this, a wild child, it's easy for them to be labeled as difficult or as defiant or, you know, the troublemaker or the one who never listens. And those are things that your child is absorbing, and really their beliefs about themselves are being created and developed when you say things like that. So the reframe there is really, really important about looking deeper than that, like what we're doing now, right? There's so much good to these kids, even though it's challenging. We're not gonna dismiss that. It's definitely challenging. This is where your work as boundary setters and holders, and Erin just gave a wonderful workshop last night on holding boundaries, how to hold a boundary. It will really help if you know how to do that with these kinds of kids. Do you think that these kinds of kids, Air, thrive on more boundaries and more consistency than kids that are differently temperamented? I don't know how to say that.
Yeah. Yes.
Temperamentally different.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, I, of course, I can't give you a straight answer. My answer is going to be, it depends on how you're setting your boundaries, right? And it's like, where are your boundaries coming from? And is it coming from a place of love and connectedness to what's best for you and your family? Then yes, right? Mm-hmm. Because we know, say, boundaries are how our children learn how to set their own boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. They keep our kids safe and make them feel safe. And so it is so important to have those boundaries. But a lot of times we just have these like random rules and boundaries that we just because I said so. And so if you can really look, you know, get connected to the why behind your boundary, it's helpful. And yes, those are helpful for those children.
You know, I just had like a really random flashback memory thing that came up for me, and I just want to share it for a minute, because I was on a trip recently to Colorado, and I was hiking one day, and this really came up for me, and it had rained like the night before or something. So there was mud everywhere. And I was wearing hiking boots, which are like pretty rugged. Like they can withstand everything, right? And I noticed only on like my last hike, and my last part of the hike, that I was like jumping over every muddy section. Like I could not touch mud. And I like stopped myself, and I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like I have this like paralysis when it comes to like, no, don't get dirty. Don't jump in the mud. Like, be careful. Like, and I realized that I think that's just a lot of the way I was spoken to as a child and like tamed, I think a little bit, because I think I could have been more of a wild child, but I learned not to be very quickly, if that makes sense.
Are you saying that because you have a wild child?
I do have a wild child. And so I'm noticing as I'm being with her, yes, I'm learning so much about myself too, and how much more free I feel just being able to be in those moments with her and letting her be her is amazing. It's very hard sometimes, but it's amazing. And it's crazy what this moment of this muddy puddle did for me. It just made me realize how much restraint I kind of had on myself. And some of it might have come directly, you know, from direct instruction, but some of it were just ways I learned to be in the world. And it was like, wait a minute. And it was so crazy. But the last puddle that I got to at the end of the hike, I just like splashed in it, and I felt so free. And I'm like, oh my God, I've been like holding this in for how many years? And I had the same reaction when it's rainy and my daughter's going to go into the puddle before this trip, of being like, wait, you're going to get messy, you're going to get dirty. But her spirit is to just run through them and jump through them and get messy, right? And post this trip, I feel like I've really shifted in that and just learned to like, no, there's nothing wrong with having fun in mud. There really isn't. So I just wanted to bring that up because that was like such a crazy experience for me of reflection, that that I think makes sense in this conversation somehow.
Yes, it does. So if we find Evelyn rolling around the mud, then we understand why. We understand why you're doing it.
But it's y'all so can find me in the mud.
But it's so true, because what I think what you're tying it back into is that we don't even realize how deeply we've been like trained or taught, right? And so if, you know, if you're listening to this right now, it says so much about you that you're like, I'm widening my lens. I want to look at things differently. You know, I'm not going to just have the status quo and make rules for no reason. And I'm going to allow that. Now, and like you said, of course, it's still hard. It's still tough. None of us want children that are like constantly making us question our worth, right? Or like, what are we doing as parents? But if you can reframe and you can look at it as like, what is this here to teach me? Like, what can I learn from this child? And then also, how can I also see them for who they are? Because there's so many great things about them. Yeah, they might not follow the rules, but what else, right? Yeah. And the more that you start to see that truly, and you reframe that for yourself and truly believe it, your child's going to believe that too. They're going to know their strengths and see why they're so special. And it's not just lip service.
No.
It's the truth, because you're not, you cannot fake it till you make it with stuff like this with kids. As we said, they're like the dogs in the airport. They can sniff it out if we're fake. So it's up to you as a parent to truly see all that they are and also work on the things that maybe you think they're not, that they need help with, but see them for who they are and let yourself take it in. And then once you do, they're going to believe the feeling you have because it's real.
Yeah.
And they're going to start to feel that same way about themselves.
Yeah. I definitely feel like you've got to like really, truly accept your child before you can become the parent they need, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's like it goes hand in hand. If not, you're going to parent to somebody that you're trying to make them into, that that's not going to work, right? It's not going to feel good for you. It's not going to feel good for them, because you're just putting a square peg into a round hole. Like, so it's really takes true acceptance for that. And just one more thing I want to bring on that, Erin, and you can chime in here quickly, is in order to accept our kids for who they are and be able to reframe and do all of this, don't you feel like we've got to like look at just like judgment all around? I feel like judgment is a huge hindrance to us being able to embrace the wild child. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And absolutely. Of course, it's about judgment, because I'm a little suspicious here. If you are judging your child on who they shouldn't be and who they should be, you're probably doing that to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. It's probably coming from us, and we're making a lot of judgments. And I think we spend so much time with expectations and so little time with just accepting, right? Yeah. It's like we expect so much and we accept so little. And I think we can flip that.
Yeah.
Reverse it.
Well, I even mean like feeling judged by other people.
Oh.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Because it's like it feels like you have the kid that doesn't follow script, and then now you're also feeling triggered by probably activated of like everyone is judging me for being this not good enough parent. Like that's another layer.
Oh my God. Absolutely. And especially if that's a common pain point for you, and you always, you know, if you've always felt like you're not enough, then of course this kid's going to bring it out in you. If you always felt embarrassed about things in your life, then this child's definitely going to bring it out in you. And I mean, it's like, there's no doubt about it, but yeah, I think there's a lot of like performative parenting that happens. And I think a good way for you to understand when that's happening is like, would, you know, treating your child differently in your home versus being out, right? If you're so worried about how you look on the outside to the world that you're going to change how you parent because you're feeling embarrassed, that's like a really nice, not a nice, but it's an alarm that should go off. But I think what that actually, it's a sign, but it's also just plays into this idea that we should sort of like self-abandon and we should like not care about what's going on inside of us to make other people happy. Yeah. And that's essentially what we're doing. Like if your child's having a hard time, you ultimately want to connect with them and help them understand that hard time. But if you're embarrassed and you're fearing that you're being judged, then you're actually going to even like, you're just going to probably shush your kid up or punish them or yell at them to regain that dominance and make yourself feel good, when really that's not what you would do at home. You might probably want to just like get down on their level and say like, what's going on? God, you're so mad, you know?
Oh, there's so much. We could go on forever and ever and ever, but I'm not going to do that either to you or our listeners. So I'm going to say, I think we've got so much good stuff covered today. And I appreciate you so much. And I appreciate your time so much. I definitely want to leave our listeners with a way to reach you. So where can they find you?
Absolutely. Yep. I'm on Instagram under It's The Conscious Mom. And you can also find me on my website. It's theconsciousmom.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out with me today. To keep up with the latest episodes, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. And to keep up with the latest content and workshop offerings, be sure to sign up for my newsletter. You can do this on my website, www.hatchandbloom.co. You can also catch me on Instagram at hatchandbloomco. See you soon.